a legendary quarterback, and it's not a product of the Bill Belichick system or what the Patriots do under the Patriots way. A lot of their success is reflective on the quarterback that Tom Brady is as well.
Well, and not only that, but think about it. He had Randy Moss the 1 year, and when they went undefeated into the Super Bowl, lose to the Giants. Other than that, he's had Gronkowski, who's an all-pro, but his receivers have been pedestrian.
Just a bunch of scrubs, man. A bunch of just dented cans that they just pick up here and there. You know, the Julian Edelmans, the Wes Welkers, and all these guys that are just, you know, run-of-the-market type of wide receiver, and he makes them good. He's gotten a lot of people paid. We can talk about that. That's for a fact.
Yeah,
a lot of people paid.
There's no doubt. Now, Master, bring us up to date on what you've been doing in the series you've been doing in the Star Tribune.
Yeah, NFL, there's all this hype about all these prospects and stuff, you know, with the draft, and you've got the combine, the Senior Bowl, the pro days, all stuff, and, you know, people always talk about stocks, and you just hear a lot of hype around a bunch of guys. So we're doing a series on our site, NFL Draft, Truth or Hype, just examining some of these top name prospects and wondering, you know, is the hype around them justified based off their performance? And obviously, we take into account, you know, stats, the film, and also the pro day and combine numbers as well. And, you know, we've run through them. I think I'm focusing a lot more on defensive guys just because I think this draft has a lot of really good defensive players, especially rush edge players. And the more that I watch a lot of those edge rushers that could be, you know, a 4-3 defensive end or a 3-4 outside linebacker, even a 4-3 outside linebacker, I think that might be where the Vikings could be leaning here in the draft. I think I could see them drafting someone that's just really athletic and just, you know, someone that could be very versatile, just like Anthony Barr. Team him up, him and Barr, and just have like a very stout front seven that they can work with essentially there in the first round.
Who would be the likeliest guy in your mind?
The likeliest guy? I mean, I just was watching Bud Dupree this morning, man. I like what I saw out of him out of Kentucky. I don't think he's getting that. He's got a lot more hype as of late, but I still don't think people have him in the mid-first rounds, I think it is. Vic Beasley's another guy I watched that I like a lot. He just needs to work on his hands a little bit more because he's the same move each and every time he gets sacks. It's the most amazing that he was able to do it as consistently as he was, and people weren't able to pick up on it because he's so fast and can just bend around the edge so quick that most tackles didn't have a chance at it.
Those
two guys are two names I'm definitely looking out for in the draft.
Well, and in the Vikings, I mean, last year, look what they wound up with. He was not considered to be as good as he certainly looked before he got hurt. When they made the move, you know, they took a guy that a lot of people, wow, is he an end? Is he a linebacker? Well, he turned out to be pretty good as a linebacker.
Yeah, and it was a good learning point for all of us because I didn't expect, you know, Zimmer to look at a 3-4 outside linebacker, for instance, and turn him into what Anthony Barr has been. Because not only is he using a linebacker, but also defensive end on third downs and being able to use him for his raw ability as a pass rusher. And we've seen the progress that Anthony Barr has made. So maybe I'm over accounting for that. And I'm thinking they'll probably go the same route, having a lot of athletic guys that cover tight ends, but also still bring the blitzes and unique schemes that Mike Zimmer likes to do. Because if you team up an Anthony Barr and a Vic Beasley and a Mike Zimmer defense, that's scary. That is. Man, there's going to be some crazy defensive schemes that Mike Zimmer could think of with those two guys at linebacker.
We're talking to Master Tesfasi from the Star Tribune. You know why, Master? I agree with what you're saying. One of the reasons, I think that his alignment is, he really can't put Barr on the defensive line. If he got another guy that can play linebacker and leave him on the field, and you know, when they're in nickel and when they're in the pass rush, I'd move him and move Robinson inside as a pass rusher on passing downs. You have a guy that can come from the edge because Robinson isn't doing it certainly where they want.
If you draft a guy like a Beasley or a Dupree, you get that flexibility where you can bring either one of those guys on the edge, or you know, you can keep them standing and blitz them as well. That's the creativity things that I was thinking about. As far as kind of how, I mean, obviously Zimmer would just be light years ahead of what I'd be thinking, but I mean, there'd be so many options that Zimmer could do, so much flexibility with that front seven, how he wants to blitz and how he wants to cover, that I think it would be. It'd be scary to watch.
Well, that's why it's what you're saying makes so much sense, because it gives him incredible versatility and great players that you can plug in, as you say, in a couple of spots.
Absolutely. And you still got Tom Johnson in the inside, too, who was a really good pass rusher as well on third down. I don't know if maybe you didn't even use Robinson. You know, it depends. Or you can, you know, we saw him used in 3-3-5 schemes, too, as a linebacker dropping back. So there's so many options available out there if they can, you know, pair a Barr with another freakishly athletic edge rusher.
And Dupree is the guy that comes closest to what Barr is, right?
Yeah, he is a big dude. I think he's like at about 255 as well. And Beasley's around about 45, I want to say. But, yeah, they both have those bar type of just raw ability.
Now,
especially with Beasley.
So you're watching a lot of game film to do this series, right?
Oh, yeah.
That must be fun for you.
Oh, it's fun, but it's also,
work.
Sometimes you got to walk away from the TV screen because, you look outside and the sun's out, and then you look back and
It's not out anymore.
Yeah.
Now, that's funny. Well, what about the there's a couple of other guys that sort of kind of fit the mold you're talking about. Dante Fowler Jr., is he a guy that can be a linebacker too? Is he going to be an end in the NFL? And what about Vic Beasley?
You know what? I haven't seen Fowler yet because I'm going to save him for next week.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's going to be there, obviously, for the Vikings. So I'm looking at guys that can
because he can go over
the
top five.
But Beasley, I was just mentioning with Beasley, is that the other example was Randy Gregory as well. And Gregory, when I was examining him, it didn't seem like he currently, I think, about 235 is what he weighs.
Is that it?
That is too small to play defensive end in the NFL, especially if he's going to be trying. He's a good pass rusher. And if he puts on weight, then, possibly down the road that he could be a defensive end. But I see him more as a linebacker starting off as, whereas Beasley, he could be either or, I think.
Well, Master, you know what? He's going to put on weight because he's going to have the munchies.
What I told you last time, I said we're going to have a weed reference again. That's how we're going to roll.
That's how we're going to roll, Master. Well, Master, I'll tell you, I love talking to you. Let's talk again. We'll talk about what your series. Now, is this going to go right to the draft?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot because I love the series you're doing, and I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. And we'll make sure that our man Hellboy here gives you that music you like.
Oh, most definitely, man. I appreciate that.
All right, Master. Take care. Master Tesfasian from the Star Tribune. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we return, come back with Ruth Lord and get her views on a few things. She's also going to take calls, too. Here's the deal. You call in with a sports-related question about, hey, what will the, how many games will the, we're going to ask that, too, but anything about the Wild Series. And you also, as a bonus, you can ask a question, any other question you want from Ruth at Psychic Ruth to get a little bit of a psychic indication what's going on. We'll be right back.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're back. We are joined by Ruth Lord at Psychic Ruth on Twitter. RuthLorden.com is her website. And we had said if you have a question for Ruth, sports-related question, if you want her to give you some sort of insight or prediction, give a call. And then ask a personal question, too. We have let's see who's on line one. Hello.
Angela in Minneapolis.
Angela, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah. What's your question? What's your sports question for Ruth first?
My sports question is, I play for the Minnesota Vixens.
Well, good for you. Now, what's your record now? Have you started yet?
1-0. We won our first game.
And what do you play? Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I play running back. My eighth year with the team. We've been around for 17 years.
Oh, my goodness. Are you the AP of women's football? The Vixens are our local football. Really? How many games do you play?
We play 8 games in a season.
And what's your... What do you average per game you're rushing at? What did you have in the first game you played?
Well, the first game, we won, but the second play, a girl fell on my ankle, so I was out for the rest of the game.
But normally, if you played 8 years, you must have a pretty good average per game. What's your average yards? But what do you get normally in a game?
I believe last year was 5-point-something.
5-point-something?
Yeah.
AP's only 5.0.
Right.
That's pretty good, Angela.
Thank you.
All right, what's your question for Ruth?
Okay, so my question for Ruth is tomorrow is our home opener in Invergrove Heights, 6 p.m., and we're playing the Wisconsin Warriors, and I want to know how that's going to turn out.
Well, wait. First, I'm thinking, do the Warriors hate you? Do you always win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're not like the other football team in town. You actually win games,
all
right?
All right, Ruth, let's not get snippy.
I got a feeling you guys are going to be the champions this year. It's about time. You're gonna win tomorrow. You're gonna win tomorrow, and I see at least three touchdowns. What do you guys do? A lot of high scores. What was your last score?
It's in the past couple years we have.
Now, Angela, is your ankle good enough that you're gonna play? I mean, are you gonna be out of the game tomorrow?
It's getting better. I'm gonna suit up, and we're gonna see what I can make happen.
Now, you have good hands too, which would make you better than AP.
Absolutely.
Oh, you do catch the ball a lot too. Good for you.
Thank you.
You know what? It would be fun to watch you guys play, and I'm guessing now this is not this is not like the Victoria's Secret women's football or Powder
absolutely.
Puff football.
You
guys,
opposite.
You guys hit
total,
right?
Exactly. That's what we come to do.
Now, you've played 8 years. You said, how tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
Oh, good. Low center of gravity, so it's tough for them to bring you down.
Exactly.
And what do you do 40 times? I mean, do you guys do times like that? Do you run the 40, or is that not a big deal?
We do that in tryouts. So we do that in tryouts.
And now,
my time did improve from last year. I don't know the exact time, so.
But because our producer here, David Helmer, claims in high school he did a 4.5.
Oh, really?
Could he play? His hair's really long. Maybe you can sneak him on the team.
If
we have a shave, if we shave him, he probably would have the longest hair on your team. So there'd be that. Now, do you have another question for Ruth of a personal nature? That's the bonus question.
Bonus question. I don't have a bonus question.
That's all right. That's fine. Well, Angela, thanks so much, and good luck tomorrow. And call in anytime. It's fun to hear. I know we don't talk a lot to members of the Vixens, but I think it's a neat thing, particularly when you're the AP of the Women's Football League.
Right. And I just want to give a shout-out to all my Vixens sisters. Squad up tomorrow. And we know what we got to do. That's it.
Good for you. They give them a little pep talk, a little speech.
Right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Angela. Take care and have a great season. We'll see you. All right. You know what? Should we go first caller? Or should we on this one?
Why not?
All right. First one to get through with a good twins question for Ruth will win 651-989-9105. Wins twins tickets to tomorrow's game. It's tomorrow's game, right?
Of course, at the moment, saying good and twins in the same sentence is an oxymoron.
Excuse me, they won two in a row. Well, that was quick. they're lit up. Well, we'll hear from all of them.
We may have to. They have to be able to pick up the tickets today, though.
Oh, that's right. They have to get down here. That's why we're doing it so soon. Good point. All right, let's see. Find out from Ben. Put him on hold here so we can go to the first caller. Ben, he's getting to it. Anyway, Ruth, I know you're all. Let's. Is he there? Actually, because you said they have to pick him up today, that might have just had a couple of people drop off.
All right, bad.
If you can get, they'd have to. You're right. It's tomorrow. You have to pick up the tickets before 5:30. If you're anywhere near, we're located by the U.
Yeah.
If you're near the U, 651-989-9105. Call in. Ask a question about the Twins, and you could have tickets to tomorrow's game. That's not so bad.
Or I'll take them, and I will give them to
somebody. Hellboy will take them for you and hold on to them.
You just have to find me.
Yeah, he'll be there. He'll be wandering around with your tickets somewhere, somehow. Now, Ruth, your negativity surprises me. You're not. I thought you had a better feeling about the Twins.
I did until I saw that dismal opening game. And, you know, I'm a fan of baseball. And my psychic feeling is we've got to start thinking win twins, not gourmet food and music and bands. Yeah. Win twins.
You know, and I don't know that we've talked about it. And you're okay. I mean, you have a friend who had one of the best seasons in baseball history, Steve Stone, right?
Yes, and he called their Twins White Sox game recently the Battle of the Basement.
And he probably was right, but I mean, he did a book, right, Steve?
He said a few,
but there was a chapter devoted to you, right?
Yeah.
And explain to people what that chapter was about. And this is like a Cy Young performing season.
I don't even remember.
I'm not embarrassing you with this, am I?
No, I try to remember because that was in 1980. But I would give him readings, and I remember telling him that his season would turn around when they would play the team in green, and I know that's how it was said in the New York Times. remember who it even was. And then his season turned around and he started winning games like crazy. He was playing for Baltimore and I think he still holds the records for the number one wins in a row. And he had a fabulous year with baseball.
So this would have been 1980. He was a Cy Young winner, American League All-Star, finished with a 25-7 record. So the team in green would have been Oakland.
Yes,
most likely.
It might have been that they played.
That was a hell of a year that he had.
Yeah, he had a great year. And I used to go see all his games and he never lost a game if I was there.
So he won all 25 games when you were there. Let's go to, who's this?
Nick in West St. Paul.
Nick, how are you? You want those tickets?
Sure.
Ask a good question of Ruth and they're yours.
All right. I want to know if you guys think Adrian Peterson will be attending any Twins games because he's still on the Vikings roster and playing for the Vikes this year.
Excellent question. I still see him. I don't think Dallas is going to take him that fast. I believe he will go to a Twins game.
But he's not going to be so injured that he'll be able to actually walk up steps or get to a suite or something.
Well, he may have some enemies, but I don't see him getting injured on the field.
Okay, well, I thought you said he was going to be hurt this year.
You're right, and I do feel wherever he plays, but he'd be able to walk up.
So
but remember, he'll be playing after the Twins are done. Won't be starting for a while.
So he could say he could make it. Won't be till the season starts.
Yeah.
Now you got to hustle up over here because you got till 5:30 to get your tickets. We're gonna put you on hold and Ben will get your information from you. Okay. Okay then. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Let's who do we have on line two there?
Sue in Minneapolis.
Sue, how are you? The tickets are gone, but do you have a question for Ruth?
I do.
Go ahead.
Just wondering how things in the future are going to go.
For you or the Twins?
For myself.
Sorry, Sue.
It's been up and down for you, hasn't it? And are you coming off of still dealing with a bad divorce?
No.
Bad relationship?
Yes.
It's kind of a divorce.
Yeah, it's bad. There's some money issues. That's why I meant divorce, because it seems like there's money issues around this. And it'll get settled. You're on your way up. I'm getting a vision of, like, bowling, and you're getting ready to bowl your strike.
So, in other words, you're going to hit it big, it sounds like.
Fantastic.
All right, so thank you. Actually, the time flies when we have Ruth on. We have to take a break. Ruth, thank you. Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth and RuthLorden.com. And tonight you are heading to?
I'm at the Poorhouse tonight at 4 to 7, and I do readings there. I'm at the Medina Wednesdays and Thursdays. I do a lot of phone readings, home readings. And, you know, I'm kind of inspired to go see those Vixen play Saturday night. And if anybody's out there, come on up. I'll answer a question for you.
That's not so bad. You know what, Ruth? We have to do it sometime when you come in. We got to get Steve Stone on, too. That'd be fun. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. We'll talk to Jim when we return.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to do.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams, we're cursed.
I agree. You're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim, what'd you think of the game last night?
I was amazed at how dominant the Wild was. I really thought that would be a difficult game to win. I thought it was a 50-50 game, like I would pick any of the teams in the series, but I thought the Wild was absolutely dominant. They had the better goalie. They looked like they had more depth. They looked like they had more jump. They dominated possession and best chances and everything. I thought they played smarter. I thought they, especially Niederreiter, they took physical play without resorting to penalties. But I thought it was a whitewash. Now, the guess would be that the Blues will have everything to play for the next game. It will come out kind of crazed. But if it's anything like game one, the Wild's just a better team.
Well, and they had quite a bit to play for last night and didn't. And I mentioned this earlier to our producer here, David Helmer, Hellboy, as we call him. When the puck glanced off of Devin Dubnyk's glove in the second period, clanks off the pipe, and then just ricochets away from the net. It told me there that luck, and it was going to work out for them, because that easily could have been a goal.
Yeah, but you know, you go through any hockey game, there are about eight close misses. It's the nature. I know that was really close.
Yeah.
But I think the Wild wins that game if that puck goes in. I think a lot of hockey games between fairly evenly matched teams are determined by luck or bounces. But I didn't think that was. I still, you know, the things you can control, you can't control bounces and posts and all that other stuff. But, you know, puck possession, better chances, playing intelligently. I thought all the stuff that you can control in a hockey game, the Wild had a great advantage. And you know, I picked the Wild to win that series, but I didn't think game one would look that one-sided. That's stunning.
It was.
You know, even last year, it took us about three or four games in, I think, for the objective among us to say, okay, we've seen enough now. The Wild's a better team, whether they win the series or not. I thought it was pretty obvious about 5 minutes into the game last night.
There wasn't a guy on that team that didn't look good. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch. And I did also realize, especially for playoff hockey, I watched it on, like, what, a 32-inch screen? You need a theater-sized screen. I should have went to the X to watch it, because it's got to be, you know, on a big screen, a really big screen, hockey is so much more fun to watch. It's not like football.
I think the NHL, too, if they're smart. Because, you know, there was a time when you really couldn't see the puck when you watched hockey on TV.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch hockey on a small, grainy TV, you couldn't see the puck. But, I mean, HD is made for sports. I think golf is so much better now on TV than it used to be. Football's great. Baseball, you can see the stitches on a fastball rotating as it approaches the plate. And the NHL, if they really want to give you the full game day experience, though, you know, you've heard of surround sound. I think they should have, like, cross-check technology. I think you should be getting hit in the neck every once in a while. Just to remind you how much these guys are getting beat up out there.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's it was a lot of fun to watch, and I'm gonna watch every one of them. I'd like to, you know, next week I'd actually like to get over there too if I could when they're home. That is gonna be such a festive area on Monday, because the Wild are gonna have like their pregame thing where you can get, they're actually gonna have happy hour priced beers and trying to turn it into a little bit of a festival. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to be around the X on Monday, and when they have home games,
one of the great things too, Bob, is, you know, There have been Wild playoff teams and decent Wild teams that weren't much fun to watch. That, you know, the Gabrick years, they really were very heavily reliant on Gabrick to score. They played a very heavily defensive-minded system. They tried to beat you 1-0. And even when they won, even when they made the playoffs, it wasn't necessarily that much fun. This team moves the puck, and puck movement is just like, it's like basketball. When it moves, then more people are involved. It becomes a much prettier game. This team plays pretty hot. And, obviously we talk a lot about Dubnyk. He's the key. There's no doubt about it. But there was also a time this year when the kids just weren't playing very well. You know, I mean, Granlund was out for a while. He didn't play all that well when he was healthy. Niederreiter did not have the kind of break this season they kind of hoped. Zucker was out much of the season. Dumba, you know, went up and down and made a lot of mistakes when he was here. Then you watched last night, and those kids are playing really well at exactly the right time for this team.
Yeah, you look on the ice, and they all, you go from the first, fourth line, no matter who's out there, they're having fun, and they are flying. That whole team is into this. I like watching Yo behind the bench, because he doesn't show anything. Maybe once he showed some emotion last night.
He's always been pretty composed. I mean, it was funny that the one time that TV cameras caught him breaking his stick this year during practice. I mean, it's not like that's the only time it's ever happened. It's the only time it's ever been caught on camera. And he has some fire to him, but he tries not to show it too much during games. You look at not only last night, not only how this team matches up with the Blues, and I think it matches up much better now that they have Stewart and they have a little more forward depth because of some of the moves that Fletcher made, and also with Zucker coming back and Granlund being completely healthy. But you look around the Western Conference, and the cliche for years now has been, oh, man, the Western Conference is so tough. But if this team is good enough to beat the Blues, who would they really fear in the Western Conference?
Nobody.
They might see, you know, and fear isn't the right word, but I would think there would be
a little bit of anxiety going up against Anaheim. Anaheim's one of those teams just always finds a way to beat them by one goal. They have guys who know how to play in the playoffs. They're physical. They have skill. Anaheim is a little worrisome. I don't think Nashville poses that much of a threat. Vancouver ain't what it used to be. I'm just not sure there's anybody else that you would look at and say, I mean, actually, the Jets play a tough game, but I think the Wild's a better team. This, I really think the winner of this series has a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, whichever team it is. Because if the Blues rally and beat the Wild under these circumstances, that might be what gets them over the hump after having a lot of playoff disappointments as well.
You know, if you're a Wild fan, you had to love that the place emptied when the Wild got the empty netter, even though that, you know, they came back and still made a game of it. It wasn't until that second empty netter that the game was over.
Well, it's quite a gift for Minnesota sports fans to be the team that doesn't have the Minnesota attitude in this playoff series.
That's right. That's a great point.
It's the Blues fans who are completely paranoid and waiting for their team to lose. And it's the Minnesota fans, for once, who feel like they have a lot of optimism going in.
Well, and obviously, you know very well as I do, too, that this is an area starving for something like this, to have some kind of a run.
Yes, absolutely. And it's remarkable because, you know, I've been in town for a long time, almost as long as you, and I started doing the column, 2004 or something.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, the Twins were in the playoffs almost every year. The Wild was a borderline playoff team every year. The Vikings have always been a highly competitive team. You know, when they have bad stretches, they usually bounce back and do something interesting. And the Timberwolves back then were, you know, what, going to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And then you're after about 2000, you know, once you get past 2010 and Favre's no longer around and the Twins stop going to the playoffs, it's been Death Valley for winning sports teams. And, you know, when you combine the fact that Minnesota's a star for a winner, combine the fact that Parisi and Suter are such good guys, so easy to root for, combine the fact that they have, it is now very pretty, very watchable, entertaining hockey, where even when they won before, it wasn't. Combine that with the failures of the other teams and the fact that the XL Energy Center is one of the great sporting venues in America. They got it going on right now.
And now, you've been around this team more than I have. Since I started doing the radio show, I don't get to the practices I once did, but every team seems to have an ass. This guy team does not seem to have an ass on it.
No, and they have had. Back in the day, they traded for Chris Simon, which was one of the dumbest moves in Twin City sports history. Matt Cook was a cheap shot artist in his previous life. With the Wild, he's really only had one moment that you question. That was taken out of Tyson Berry last year. Other than that, but I don't think he's a bad teammate or a bad guy. He just has a bad history. I can't really think of a guy in there that would say is unlikable. Dubnyk's a really good dude. Parisi and Suter set a great tone. The kids are nice kids. I think Stewart has the capability of having an edge, but I think he's happy here and having in his role. The other thing is, when you have leadership and when you're winning,
that doesn't come out.
The bad guy really has to be careful about how. If there's a bad guy in there, he's probably hiding it right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, tonight, talking to Jim Suhan from Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com, you're going to have Russo on from St. Louis, right?
That was yesterday. Tonight,
My apologies.
It's all right. Tonight, it's Jerry Zagoda, our basketball writer, who also once covered the North Stars, so we're going to talk. Jerry has covered golf, basketball, and hockey in his time, so we're going to talk North Stars, Wild, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, Wolves future, and some golf, I think.
Wow.
And that's 6 o'clock at O'Gara's, and you can listen to it at SuhanUnfiltered.com.
How are you going to squeeze that into an hour? Are you going to go two or three?
I'm just not going to let him talk.
That's good. Jim, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. Jim Suhan, the Star Tribune, and SuhanUnfiltered.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we have the phones right, and we're going to talk to Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Wrap things up for us with some Wild talk with Tom Reed.
It's time to get fired up for some Wild playoff hockey. Join Radioactive Sports at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be live at Tom Reed's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon for weekday home playoff games. Get to St. Paul early for live pregame Stanley Cup coverage on the show. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is right next to Xcel Energy Center on West 7th Street. The radioactive sports broadcasts are presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins. Cup coverage you can count on. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are very pleased to be joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, sorry about earlier. We had a little phone issue, but I'll tell you what, that was one hell of a game to watch last night.
It was. Who's got the fat fingers back there on the phone? Is that the problem?
Yeah, somebody hit the wrong buttons, and we got to straighten out right after we screwed up with you, but it's good.
Now, well, I couldn't figure out where you guys went, but the bus was leaving, and I didn't want to be under it. I want to be honest.
That's good.
I had to make sure I got there.
Well, let me ask you this. You were at practice today. I'm guessing we asked yesterday. You said they were loose at the pregame skate. They must have been really loose today after winning last night.
Yeah, they were. Just a couple of guys didn't go on. But, you know, it's interesting, Bob. When you're winning and things are going well, you want to be on the ice. Even though it was an optional practice, most of the guys took the advantage of being able to get on the ice. Just having some fun. And the problem is, of course, there's no skate tomorrow morning either. And so you want to make sure you're geared up and ready to go. So I think that was a big reason most of the guys are not. But they're loose right now. And they had a terrific game last night, but they've got a lot of work left to be done. They have to win 15 more games to win the Cup. And,
yep.
And you know there's going to be a lot of obstacles along the way.
Tom, when you looked at because you obviously you've seen all these games that they've played, is there something from last night that they need to clean up? You know, that if they can do X or Y or whatever, things really click in for them.
Yeah, there's a couple of areas. I think, you know, in the first period, they looked like they were behind just a little bit, but they executed, I thought, pretty well in that first period, but I think they can do a better job of that. But I thought their play through the neutral zone was pretty good. And, you know, dumping the puck into the offensive zone, which they did more, they didn't carry it so much because they had the opposition against them. St. Louis is a big, strong hockey club, but I think Minnesota, for the most part, they were certainly well prepared. I think the coaching staff and the players themselves got them ready to go. But their power play worked last night, 2-for-4 in the power play, which has been dismal.
Yep.
Most of the year, although it's been better as of late. So that's a positive sign because those are the things you need going into playoffs. Your special teams have to be good, and they were again last night. But I think right from the goaltender, from the way Dubnyk played, to the defense, the way they handled themselves and the forwards, it was terrific. And I thought that third line with Coyle and Niederreiter and Bannock were just absolutely really, really good last night. They did what they had to do. They're big bodies. They made some good things happen. And I think the Blues are frustrated. They're, you know, they're trying to hit Minnesota, but it's hard to hit somebody you can't catch. And that's where Minnesota really excelled, and that was in their speed.
And Vanek looked like he was flying out there last night, too.
Well, I wouldn't say he was flying, but he was going faster, you know.
Well, okay, for him, flying. Now, yeah. To me, I look for signs, and one of the signs to me that I knew, when I've told David, our producer here, this, and I've mentioned it a few times, when I knew they were going to win is when the puck glanced off of Dubnyk's glove, clanks off the pipe, and just ricochets away from the nets. It was an indication that not only the play, but luck was on their side, too, because that could have easily dropped in.
Yeah, you have to have some puck luck. There's no question. I thought their goaltender really played well. I thought Jake Allen had a tremendous game. He had some very, very tough saves to make. Minnesota, to me, was the better team last night. I think that the Blues came out and we had all this stuff about how physical they're going to be and they're going to knock Minnesota around and take away their speed and so on. They were not able to do that. And I think the biggest thing, Bob, is the fact that Jason Zucker scored that goal at 2:47 in the first period. And that really kind of set the tone there. All of a sudden, the guys are thinking, hey, guys, how good is this? And it kind of deflated the St. Louis bench and it deflated the crowd. We saw that with Minnesota during the season when they were going through that bad stretch. Every time an early goal went in that, you know, it
deflates
just seemed to
them.
Take away the spark from the team. And now all of a sudden it happened in the other foot last night.
Now, let me ask what it was like for you, Tom. You're in the booth and obviously you know these guys and you're friends with a lot of them. When they, you get the empty netter and then when they scored again, were you worried at all?
I was worried when they got the 2-goal lead, and I think Bob said something about, well, the Wild, you know, going to win this game, and I said, wait a minute, this game is not over yet. You know what? Things happen in a strange way, and wouldn't you know it, right away they score a goal, and that kind of brought things into perspective. But the one thing is that David Backus took a very, very dumb penalty.
yep.
by going after Granlin on the draw for no reason at all. Maybe to set the stage for the next game, I don't know, but it really was a costly penalty to him and to his hockey club. And you can't do those things, especially as a captain. You've got to be the leader out there. But it resulted in two empty net goals by Minnesota, and as a result of that, they won by two goals. And you know what? It was just a bad move on his part, and I'm sure he was pretty sheepish going into the locker room.
Well, he killed their man advantage.
Well, it did. I mean, when you are playing a game at this level, things can change in a hurry. And you work and you work and you work. And all of a sudden you get that one goal, and here comes that spark again. And with that, you've got to make sure you stay on the ice. Penalties and power plays and special teams are going to be the goaltending are the three things that really define what a hockey team is going to do in playoff competition.
Now, did Ken Hitchcock, the Blues coach, did he indicate, is he going back to Allen tomorrow night, or is that not yet been announced?
He had mentioned yesterday he's going to go back to Allen. Allen had a good game. I mean, he played very well. And Minnesota's lineup is not going to change. It's going to be the same as last night.
Why would you change it?
You don't. When things are going well, you keep it like it is. So Bergenheim will stay in that left wing position on the fourth line. I thought he had a good game. And so Matt Cook will be on the sidelines again. But Darcy Kemper's healthy again. I would think the only change might be that he is probably going to be the backup goaltender tomorrow to Devin Dubnyk.
You and Bob talked about it last night. Bergenheim, I mean, when you look at his playoff numbers, he's got some pretty good numbers there. I mean, these are guys that are out there that, even though they're not, they're not on the top line or second line, they're getting, they did stock this team with guys who've been through the playoff wars before.
Well, they did. He's on the fourth line, so he's more of a checking line. But here's a guy who's now, with the game last night, I could be off a little bit, but I think he's played 24 playoff games. He's got 12 goals and 5 assists in that stretch, 17 points in 24. And you know what? That's kind of nice when you've got a fourth-line guy that has got the ability to put the puck in the net or make some plays. And certainly in Minnesota with four lines, being able to roll those four lines and have confidence in each one of the lines is a real plus for Mike Yeo.
And the other thing, I mean, the young guys that struggled early in the year, clearly, obviously, they're not struggling now, but it's fun to watch this team. The way it hit stride last year at the end of the year, and they've done it, through the second half of the season, but these young guys are going to come out so much better out of this, too, because it's fun to watch these guys.
Yeah, I mean, look at Matt Dumba. Look at the goal he got last night. Nice up by Spurgeon, and he just one times it. Confidence. It's all about confidence, what you can do, and he still has to have to corral him in a little bit at times and make sure he just plays his game and just, take it one shift at a time. Don't get too over exuberant where you're going to be running all over the ice, because then you're going to hurt your team. But I thought the guys, for the most part last night, did a terrific job of supporting each other along the walls and through the different zones.
Now, Tom, have you changed your mind at all about how many games this will go?
Well, I said it was, what did I say, 6 games, I believe.
Yeah.
I thought Minnesota was going to win in 6. And I still think it might be that, but hopefully it'll be in 4. so we go on to the next round.
That's great.
And give the guys a rest. But the bad thing is, if you win in 4, now you got to sit around for a while waiting for that next round, and sometimes that's not good.
Well, I'll tell you the bad thing about it. It's fewer nights to go to Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub to watch hockey.
Well, that's you can still come down. We'll have all the games on, all the other
that's
teams.
Right.
So you can scout down the other teams. But it will be interesting. These guys... This is a huge, huge game tonight for both these teams.
Absolutely. Now, Tom, I'm sure you checked in back home. You must have had a great night last night at the at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub.
We did. We were packed last night. A lot of Wild fans coming down there. And, of course, the Ex had like 4,500 people.
Yep.
And with them having 4,500 people there and our place is packed, I told everyone, if we're packed, just go down to the Ex. They got some extra seats down there. But we were busy.
Well, Tom, that was the spillover from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub over at the Ex.
That's exactly what I said last night. Came to my place, couldn't get in, so they went down the street.
That's great. Tom Reed, thank you so much. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, we'll talk to you next week. Remember, every time you talk to us, they win.
Yes, they do. Let me know when you're coming back in the broadcast.
All right. We'll talk to you later. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. We're going to turn things over. Thank you to Tom Reed. Turn things over to Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. And they're downtown, right?
Yeah, geared up for a Twins game at the office.
Big Twins game. Hoorah. All right, we're going to turn things over to them. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Into the putter's ground. When the man comes around.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.